Well, good morning. Oh, it's so good to be back. Lovely to see you today. If you haven't met, my name is Nate. Now, usually on a Sunday morning, I'm out with our youth congregation Engage, but since the school holidays have started, I get to be here with you today looking at the scriptures together. But before I do that, I'm just going to shamelessly plug the Camp Engage fundraiser again. I even baked a cheesecake for that. It looks black, but that's caramelized. If you understand that, please think about contributing to that. It is a wonderful opportunity for the youth in our city to hear the gospel. Well, to begin, I have a confession to make you all. I'm a sucker for love stories. It doesn't matter what genre or how dry the plot may be, I can sit through just about anything if it contains a compelling romance. I love a good Jane Austen novel. You know, I could watch David Attenborough just to see monkeys fight over a mate. And I confess to you, even in high school, I watched Twilight. And I'm ashamed to say I enjoyed it a little bit. Well, as I prepared to preach on Ruth 2 today, I realized that perhaps my love for love stories may have skewed how I've always read this passage. And perhaps you might be the same as well. Because after a first reading of this book, it might seem like you could summarize Ruth in four words. Farmer wants a wife. Now, certainly an element of romance in this book, there's no denying that. But if we're reading this chapter ready to fire our Cupid's bow, we might be missing the mark. You see, here in chapter 2, I think if we bring love in too early, we could be losing some of the richness of what God has to say to us today. Because what's on view here is something greater than romance, something, dare I say, sweeter and more wonderful than intimate love, and that is kindness. Kindness is what's on show here. Here in Ruth 2, we will see how God shows his abundant kindness to those who come to him. That's the big idea, that God shows his abundant kindness to those who come to him. And we will see this play out in three acts of kindness. First, it's the reaper's kindness to Ruth. And then it's Boaz's kindness to Ruth. And finally, it is Ruth's kindness to Naomi. Well, we're in week 2 of a 4-part series, so let me just do a quick recap of the story so far. You see, Ruth is set in a very dark time in history. The land's been in famine for 10 years. And it's also the time of the judges. What does that mean? It means that the land is in anarchy and everyone just did whatever they wanted. These were the worst of times where you never felt safe and you never knew when your next meal was coming. And in the midst of all this, an Israelite named Naomi, well, she returns home to the town of Bethlehem. And she comes home because after all these years, there's finally a crop harvest worth sticking around for. You see, when the famine began a decade ago, she had left with her husband and her two sons. But as she comes back alone. She is by herself because her husband and two sons have died and left her. She's alone, except for her loyal daughter-in-law, Ruth the Moabite. And so by the end of chapter 1, there are just so many unanswered questions. I mean, has God been unkind to Naomi? How are things going to get any better? How is this all going to pan out? Well, like I said earlier, we will see how God shows his abundant kindness to those who come to him. So let's start with our first scene, the reaper's kindness to Ruth. So after Naomi has settled back home, Ruth says to her, "Let me go out there and see if anyone will let me glean their fields." Ruth knew that God had a provision for the poor and hungry. Because it says in Leviticus chapter 23 that as the reapers harvest, they're not allowed to go back and pick up any grain that's fallen on the ground. Instead, they're meant to leave it there for the poor and hungry. I think it's worth noting that this is one of the first forms of social security found in any known civilization. You see, God had inbuilt kindness into his law. Now, neither of these women had jobs, and their savings accounts were probably all but zero, but they still had to eat. And so off Ruth goes, and she so happens to stumble upon the field that belonged to a man named Boaz. And then we meet Boaz. He's headed out to the fields as well. And when he sees his reapers working the harvest, he says to them, "The Lord be with you." And the harvesters in turn respond with, "The Lord bless you." Now, what does that tell us? It tells us that these are God's people. That in the time of the judges, where morality is a liability, here are a few good men. And Boaz looks out over his field, and he immediately notices that something's not quite right. And so he goes over to his supervisor, and he goes, "That woman over there, who's she?" Now, I don't think Boaz noticed her because it was love at first sight or anything like that. I think it's much more likely that he noticed her because she was different. She looked different. I mean, this was a foreign woman. What is she doing in an Israelite field? And so what does the supervisor say? Well, the first thing he does is he points out that this woman is a Moabite. Now, you see, Moab has meant nothing but trouble for Israel. You see, when Israel first left Egypt, when they were wandering the wilderness, Moab showed them no hospitality. And then we saw in the book of Numbers, Balak, king of Moab, he tried to curse the people. And then later on in Judges' history, Moab even manages to enslave the Israelites for a time. You see, the word Moabite, that really left a bad taste in your mouth. And finally, after all these years, there's finally a harvest where I can feed my family. And then all of a sudden, this Moabite shows up gleaning an Israelite field. It just doesn't look good, does it? And so these reapers, they could have turned her away, you know, told her to chance it in another field. No one would bat an eye. But not just that. Remember, it's the time of the judges. Many an Israelite could have and would have easily taken advantage of this lone, vulnerable young woman. But these are a few good men. And so instead, the reapers show Ruth kindness. They welcome her into their field. They even take the time to listen to her story as well. And so the supervisor, he has only kind words to say to Boaz. You see this Moabite woman there? She's actually the one who came with Naomi. And I've been watching her all this time. She has been working hard since the crack of dawn. She has only taken one break this whole time. You know, meanwhile, the new guy you hired, Josephus, he went to the toilet like an hour ago and he's still not back. You know what? Maybe this one's a keeper. Let's keep her in the field. You see, if the reapers had chosen to turn Ruth away, we wouldn't have a story on our hands, would we? But instead, they showed her abundant kindness. And now, we're in scene two. It's Boaz's turn to show Ruth kindness. And so he goes up to her and he tells her that she is always welcome in his field. All the other workers know to look out for her, and he even grants her full employee access. You know, if she's ever thirsty, she doesn't have to draw water from the well in the heat of the day. She can drink what's already been drawn by the other workers. Now, Ruth, she falls flat on her face, probably because she's terrified. I mean, why are all these people being so nice to her? Like, is there some other ulterior motive? What agenda do they have? And so she says to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" You know, he could have just let her be, just to glean the field on her own. She wasn't looking to cause much trouble. But here Boaz was going through all this trouble just for her. Why? Well, it's because Boaz knows her story. He's heard from the supervisor how Ruth has left everything to follow her mother-in-law, Naomi. But not only that, Boaz has heard of how she has come to seek refuge in the God of Israel. Once again, we could be tempted to read all these little interactions as the start of a budding romance. But that would be cutting God out of the picture. Boaz doesn't cut God out of the picture here. In fact, he puts God's kindness front and center. Just take a look with me at verse 12. He says, "The Lord repay you for what you have done, and a full reward be given you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Boaz doesn't even mention himself in that sentence. He takes no credit because he knows that his kindness flows from the one that is kinder still, that it is the God of Israel, the Lord of the harvest, who has provided this reward and refuge to Ruth. But the kindness doesn't stop there. He then invites Ruth over to eat with them. He gets her to sit among them like family, sharing a meal together. Isn't that lovely? And they pass the roasted grain round and around until their bellies were all full. When was the last time any of them felt full? How long ago has it been since the Israelites could have afforded a feast like this? And how bizarre that their guest of honor is a Moabite woman. You know, it still boggles my mind. I mean, how could Boaz be so generous? If it was me, if I had just gone through 10 years of a famine, well, I'd be counting every kernel. I'd be hoarding every grain for myself and for my family. But Boaz here, he just orders his reapers to pull stalks of barley out from the bundles just so Ruth could have more to glean. Is he being foolish and reckless here? Is he trying to win a second date? I think it's because Boaz has really grasped God's kindness to him in the first place. You know, on that morning as he stood with the sun in his face, as he saw the fields of gold and he cried out, "The Lord be with you," he meant it with all his heart because he could see that God had visited them and turned these empty fields, filled these empty fields with a wonderful and bountiful harvest. And then when the harvesters cried out, "The Lord bless you," as they gathered grain by the fistful, they could see just all around them how much God had abundantly blessed them. You see, I think we're meant to see here that we can be kind to others when we first recognize God's kindness to us. So imagine we're in spring and the weather's getting warmer. Picture the snow on the mountaintops melting into a flowing river which turns into a roaring waterfall that gives life to all the land. That's what's happening here. What we see here is a flood of cascading kindness. It's a flood of cascading kindness, kindness that flowed from God to Boaz, then from Boaz to the reapers, and then from the reapers to Ruth. And finally, it's Ruth's turn now to show kindness to Naomi. So it's the end of the day and Ruth comes home with an ephah of barley. That's about 22 liters. Here, let me give you an idea of how much this is. Just give me a second. This is a 20 kilo sack of rice. It's actually slightly less than that because Helen and I got hungry during the week. But you get the point. It's really heavy. And so Ruth, after a day of backbreaking work, gathering and gleaning and then threshing the grain, she has to bring all this home afterwards. It's incredible. Not only that, she still has a bit of lunch left over just so that Naomi can eat for that day. Ruth really goes above and beyond for her mother-in-law, doesn't she? Let me put this down, it's too heavy. Oh, dear. Well, Naomi then sees Ruth at the door with her sack of grain, and she's dumbstruck. Goodness gracious me, where did you glean, Ruth? Did you rob a bank? Like, where did you get all this grain from? And so Ruth tells her about Boaz. And Naomi remembers Boaz. He's the relative of her late husband. And even though her husband has been long dead, Boaz still showed them both abundant kindness that day. And Boaz would go far beyond his good deed of the day because Boaz then invites Ruth to glean in his field for the entire harvest. And so where Ruth 1 ends hollowed out with grief, Ruth 2 ends full of hope and kindness. I told you it's better than a romance. Well, I hope you're excited for chapters 3 and 4 and what will happen then. But for now, let's just stop and think about what we've learned today. We've just witnessed a story of incredible kindness. It's a kindness that is generous, that's unassuming, one that gives life and hope. But all this kindness has a point. because this kindness flowed from God all along. It's a flood of cascading kindness. Kindness that flows from God to Boaz, Boaz to the reapers to Ruth, and finally Ruth to Naomi. I mean, where do we see such kindness in our world today? People can be so cruel. Life can be so unfair. We all long for this kindness, but we all struggle to show it at the same time, right? There's just not enough time, not enough resources, not enough emotional capacity to be kind to every single person we meet. And yet I'm sure we all try our best. But when the going gets tough, when push comes to shove, it's back to every man and woman for ourselves, isn't it? Our world can be so unkind. You see, the big problem is that while humans may be able to pass kindness along, we actually have no source of kindness in ourselves. You see, it takes God to show us the greatest act of kindness. And he did that when he sent us his son, Jesus. Jesus shows us the abundant kindness of eternal life for all who come to him. When Jesus died on that cross, we can see how he has the power to undo every act of unkindness we have ever committed. And Jesus invites us into his field where he shows his followers a lifetime, an eternity of kindness. He offers us the hope of never having to be afraid again. And he offers to fill us so that we may never feel empty again. You see, if Ruth 2 is about how God shows abundant kindness to those who come to him, then Ruth 2 shows us that the gospel is of God who shows us the abundant kindness of eternal life for all who come to Jesus. So if you're not a follower of Jesus today, will you go to him? You know, he wants nothing but to forgive you and welcome you into his field. So will you follow him? Maybe ask the friend who's invited you here today what it means for them to follow Jesus. And why not stick around these next 2 weeks to see how the story of Ruth ends? We welcome you to find this kindness in Jesus because it is a kindness that is out of this world. And now I do want to speak to the Christians in the room, my fellow brothers and sisters. How are we going with showing gospel kindness? I think this chapter is filled with wonderful examples of kindness that we could all follow. It looks like going above and beyond for one another, just like Ruth did for Naomi. Kindness is being generous and sharing what is ours, just like Boaz. Kindness is speaking and thinking well of the other person, just like the supervisor. But there's a particular kind of kindness that I want us to focus on right now. One that really shines for me in this passage. You see, if the reapers had first met Ruth, if they had turned her away, then all would have been lost. And if we are reapers in God's field, in God's harvest, then how are we going with welcoming the outsider? So let me give us a couple of questions to reflect on. Are we kind to the people who visit our church on a Sunday? Do we go out of our way to greet them? Do we welcome them with no agenda of our own? Do we take the time to listen to them and to get to know their story? Do we show our visitors gospel kindness? Maybe for some of us here, it is a really difficult season right now. We maybe feel like we're starved for time, starved for resources. Maybe we're starved of kindness ourselves. But we should let God's generous gospel push our eyes away from ourselves and to those who are coming in to join us. You see, it's not about waiting for others to show kindness to me before I then go show kindness to others. It's seeing how God has shown me kindness first in the gospel. And in the gospel, there is enough love and enough kindness to go around. How heartbreaking would it be if there were people who came to our church seeking the kindness of God and we were the ones that turned them away? Do we remember what it was like to be outsiders once? Do we remember what it was like to be let into God's generous field? Do we see the kindness of God, and do we let that kindness flow through our veins? Do we see the harvest, and are we ready to show gospel kindness? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the abundant kindness you show to all who come to you. And we praise you for Jesus, who offers us eternal kindness and who welcomes us into his field. Help us to have a heart for the outsider and to have hearts, to have eyes to see your harvest. And we pray all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of the harvest. Amen.